I may have two faces, but at least I don't have three chins.
You know, I always try to do mine to the episode. You just make up whatever you want.
I know. That's not, I didn't make that up though. I took that from somewhere, but I don't remember where.
Off the it's Bob the Drag Queen's diss track of the mistress.
Yes, there it is.
It's fitting because it's a drag queen episode.
Yeah, see that? It was planned.
Okay, you ready? Mm-hmm. Every time I look at you, I get palm sprung.
Very topical indeed.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Trax.
And this is Privileged Twinks.
Ooh, it's a podcast where we recast The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
We recast it?
And recap it, yes.
That's in Utah. We're coming at you late night. A little late night session. Mm-hmm. We just watched it. We buy the episode on Amazon. We buy the season on Amazon. So now we just watched it at 9 p.m. our time on Tuesday. And we're recording right after at 10:20 p.m. on Tuesday. I thought this episode was really good. It was also long. I wasn't expecting it to be a long one already.
Yeah. Although, I'm confused if it was an hour and a half on, like, regular television. That would have been so many more commercials. Because it was only 54 minutes long.
Normally, when it's an hour on regular TV, it's 43 minutes long. And this is 54, so.
So you only got 10 more minutes for 30 more minutes.
That's what happens on Drag Race, pretty much.
You get 20 more minutes of commercials.
Drag Race is an hour and a half, and it's about 55 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
So, it was definitely... Well, let us know if you guys watched it on real TV, but I'm pretty sure it was an hour and a half long episode, like on TV. But I thought it was pretty good. We got the catchphrases. Do you want me to go over them?
Oh, yes, because I did not write them down.
I didn't write them down either.
Who did you like?
But Bravo had them.
Oh, from memory.
Yeah.
Or did any stand out to you, I should say?
Meredith is like, okay, I guess we're making the bath her whole personality for the season. But oh, yeah, that if was... we are doing that, at least it was funny.
I thought it was a negative to me, because I was like, you said I didn't want it to be her whole season, and if it's your tagline...
Yeah, then it is going to be. But it's also, this is the second season that we've had Meredith in a bath. Third season. So
she's a bath queen.
Yeah. Okay, you want me to read them?
Yeah.
This is the order Bravo put it in on their thing, so I think this is probably what they think is the best. So we have Meredith, first. In a town full of dirty lies, everyone can use a bath.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Dirty lies. Lisa's is, I'm on a mission to serve Lisa, and I love that for myself.
Apostate!
But also that's like a dig at her son.
Yeah, it makes it seem like people are gonna come for her as far as how she practices Mormonism.
Handles the mission part?
Uh-huh.
Then we have Heather's, I own a beauty empire, so I don't need any of your lip service.
That's clever, I like it.
Yeah. I wish it would just be like, I don't want to hear any lip out of you, or something like that. Monica's is, I keep my friends close, but my secrets closer.
Which I don't think is true.
And I also don't think it's very original either.
Yeah. But also she said on this episode that, putting everything out there is the safer bet. Because then your secrets can't be weaponized against you.
Or maybe she's gonna hold them all again, like, to her chest the whole season, and then it's gonna be, like, anticlimactic.
Huh. Okay.
Angie's is, I may be Greek, but don't expect an olive branch from me.
Okay.
That one's pretty good.
Yeah. Except for, I don't know, I think she's the one that needs the olive branch. Not to give it. She needs to receive it.
T. And then Whitney's is, having faith in myself is the only religion I need.
I like that.
I do too. I also think it's the first time Whitney didn't sound like a literal
five-year-old
trying to read a line. I'm sorry, Whitney. I don't know. What was hers last
season?
We love
the growth. I don't remember.
But yeah, that's what we start off as. And then, what'd you think of the episode?
It was good. I was entertained. I feel like they have a good rhythm.
They have a really good rhythm.
Some seasons, you spend a little too long. with certain people, or like, I don't know, it's just boring. They're doing a good job of like mixing it up. There's like they're we had a Meredith scene, a Heather scene, Meredith, Angie, Monica, then Whitney, then Heather. But like each of them in those were meeting other people. So you're kind of getting a mix of everybody.
And learning the dynamics immediately of what the season's going to be.
Exactly.
I guess.
And then they had, before the airport, they had, you know, a few quick ones, like with Mary, and I think Lisa did one.
And Meredith.
And then you have the group scene. And they did the same thing with episode
one.
Honestly,
thank God, that was the best part of the episode, was Brooke thinking that Palm Springs was on the coast.
I don't know if that was the best part.
It was the funniest part.
It was giving 265 days a year.
Okay, but to be fair, like, I always kind of thought Palm Springs was, it's on the coast. It's like 2 hours away from
the coast. I would forgive this statement from anybody who grew up on the East Coast. And I know they live in New York, but he has spent a large part of his life
in LA.
On the West Coast.
Yeah.
Actually, I mean, I can't say a large part, but you at least certain seasons.
He goes to events in LA.
Yeah. So, no, you should know.
All right, well, let's get into it. We open with Meredith and Lisa. And there was a lot of monochromatic looks at the beginning. What did you think of them? Did you like any of them?
I remember liking... I liked Heather's pink getup.
Yeah, I liked that too. Lisa's was in a giant...
I remember Lisa's... I didn't... The tags hanging off it, I wonder what they said. I liked the green color.
It was whatever brand it was.
Yeah, so I didn't know if I liked the tags.
I read it multiple times, and I've never heard that brand. I didn't write it down.
But. Meredith walking in heels was a choice.
In the middle of like, winter, it was like on a path.
It was like a chunky heel.
That was not a walking shoe. That was a going out boot with a heel.
Yeah, I was like, okay. But I mean, whatever.
Do you think this episode was sponsored by Starbucks?
It could have been, and I thought we should have zoomed in on the Starbucks order because I want to know what they are.
Could you see the Starbucks order on the screen, though?
No, but we can pause, screenshot, enhance.
Sounds like a lot of work with our current low-speed TV that we have going on.
It'll be on Twitter, I'm sure.
Yeah, basically, they're just catching up to, like, kind of squash any beef they have, which I do think... I guess Meredith's, like, hypothetical, I'll be over it when I'm over it, is over. That she's had for two seasons about the top mic moment. And this is when she asked, like, Lisa about Jack going to college, and she said he's deferring to go on a mission for their church.
Yeah, it seemed kind of like she seemed a little hesitant to share it. Like, she was umming at first.
Yeah.
But I wonder, and this is the question, because the edit seems like they're leading this up to be some sort of difference between mom and son.
Mm-hmm.
But... And maybe they're taking advantage of these moments to hype that up a little bit, or like to make it seem one way when it's not. So I'm very curious if she actually, you know, like in this moment, is she hesitant to share because they've been rocky and she seems to like not tell everybody, or does she have special thoughts about it? She doesn't want to share. You know what's going on?
I think Lisa isn't not religious. Like, she's definitely doesn't do everything that Mormons are necessarily supposed to do in the, like, traditional sense. But at the same time, she's never said she's not religious. So I think she's happy for him. I think she's just keeping... I think, honestly, she is happy for him. She's going to support him. But her circle of friends, her way of life, things like that have been... The path is go to college. So I do think maybe it's not necessarily that she and her and Jack are going to like disagree on things in the future, but it might be like that thing of like, she's been not told everybody because it's something that she like, she also dealt with it last season with him saying fudge college, all the stuff and not wanting to go to college.
Honestly, fudge college.
And she's like, no, you have to. And then now he's fully decided not to. So she might just be like, I'm not telling that to everybody because I don't feel comfortable with, like, I think you're going to spread gossip or something like that. Mm. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm curious. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, the question is just to be posed.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. Because I think... the way that she has always been on the show is not very devout. Not that she doesn't believe in God devoutly. I just mean as far as, like, the more culture rules that revolve around, I guess what Heather said later, the orthodox part of it, you know, is not exactly how she lives. So
that would be my fear. I know, I haven't watched it, but, like, that show, Welcome to Plathville, I think, like, Kinda and Crystal were talking about it, and they were basically saying, like, one of the children decides that he wants to be more orthodox than the others. Or maybe it's not that show, maybe it's a different show. Anyway, and it's, like, because, like, I would feel scared knowing that my son was going to something who is going to basically say everything that your parents do is wrong, and then your parents don't really have, like, a say in what you're being taught.
Right.
Whereas at least in church, your parents are there next to you and stuff like that, and if the pastor doesn't say what they necessarily believe, then they'll just go to a different church. But this is, like, he's going to be away for 2 full years with other people telling him things about his parents' way of life. I would be personally scared. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that Lisa necessarily thinks that way.
Selling, you know.
Yeah, you have to, like...
You're a missionary.
You have to believe in what you're selling.
Right. So, I don't know. So I'm just curious if she's hesitant about that or because of the time, because his age. Because I don't think you have to go when you're 18. It seems like you can go at different times in your life.
Anybody that I know that was Mormon that went right after college. Or right after high school.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know. That might not be a thing. No, I don't know. I only knew, like, 2 Mormons, so. Okay, so then she basically says, I kind of, for some reason, in my head, I guess because the only people I knew that went on them went in the U.S., but I guess that she's saying that some of his friends are going to Switzerland and Milan. I did think that was funny that Lisa was like, that's going to be great. And he's like, it's not a shopping trip. And then Meredith basically says she wants to chat about everything. They obviously show the hot mic moment because it's the best moment in TV. And they will show it till the end of time on this show, apparently.
They will, yes.
But Meredith basically was like, we both made mistakes. I know we both have regrets. I know we both, like, have things we want to apologize for. And then Lisa says she wants to progress in the friendship. And she basically says, like, she wants to apologize for the hot mic moment. And Meredith said she wants to apologize for the rumors that were spread.
Progress.
Definitely. I'm just glad that we're not having another season of Meredith holding something over Lisa's head the entire season. Yes. Even though that might be what happens with Whitney this season.
Well, it's a new day, a new target. I have one question.
Okay.
How would you spell the way that Meredith says family?
Family. I would do F-U with an umlaut.
Family.
H?
It's giving F-A-H-M-L-Y to me.
I said H.
But you're saying F-U-H?
F-U-M-L-O-T-H-M-L-Y.
L-E-E.
So then Heather steps out in her all pink outfit. I don't know if I love the giant red boot shoe things, but...
I did not. But that's okay.
So basically her and Whitney are going to this outdoor hot tub water park. Great Wolf Lodge situation.
Every time this fucking show comes back on, I'm like, we are booking tickets. We are going to the mountains and the snow to get in hot water.
And taste the water.
I don't want to taste it.
That's what she did.
Did she?
She literally went, like was tasting it. And she said, now that I've tasted it, I can't stop. It's like butter popcorn.
Did you not
catch that part?
No, I didn't.
She said that to Whitney.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, so then Whitney basically is saying she's, like, shocked. She was shocked to see Mary at the party. And she was like, when did you become friends with her and Angie again? And then Heather was basically like, I didn't invite either of them.
Yeah.
They were friends.
I wonder from a production standpoint if this was, like, they were bringing them on the show and they didn't tell them who was going to be cast. And this was, like, the first event. Like, people didn't know. Or I would assume if they were filming before that they would know.
My mind more goes to... Production makes them be like, Angie was invited by blah, 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 Mary was invited by blah blah, and Monica was invited by blah blah, even though their contracts are already signed.
Right.
I think it's more like production. Well, I know. Just still doesn't want us. They won't let go of the fact that we know that people are cast.
Yeah, I get that, but I'm saying because they do that. Do you think they deliver the news that way sometimes too? They say
maybe.
Because that's what I would do.
But I don't necessarily think that. Like, Meredith can put on a Palm Springs girls trip at someplace as small as the Trixie Motel and them not know that, like, there's room for Angie to be there. You know what I mean? Like, things like that. Like, mm-hmm. Heather has this party and the snowballs are set up for a certain X, Y number of people. And the only bucket that didn't have anybody in front of it was Mary's. So Heather knew they were going to be there, you know?
Right.
Okay. So I think it's a little more like they just make them put it on for the show.
Right. Okay.
Then we find out that Angie and Heather were in the 10th grade together, and...
Only the 10th. Just kidding.
I think that's when Heather moved to Salt Lake.
I know, just the way you said it.
Well, that's the way they said it!
They were in
10th Heather grade. Heather was hot in high school, I feel like.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I don't think she was. I don't know. I didn't really think about it.
What do you think about her saying that everybody thought Angie had curly hair and it turns out it was just a perm?
That sounds like ultra white people.
It sounds like a sign of the times to me. Just like people getting perms like that much.
No, it was, I mean, one of the photos was like 1990.
That's true.
I just feel like that was, like, you grew up in a very blonde hair, blue-eyed household, and you don't know about how other people do their hair. Not that Angie's, like, super ethnic or anything like that, but, like...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
It's a perm.
Yeah.
mom had a perm.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I think people in my family had perms.
Right.
So then, Bill, what do you think about her saying that Angie won best humor in high school and it's good to know she peaked then?
I don't see it. And...
You don't see the humor part?
I don't see the humor part. She grew out of her funny bone, I guess.
Aww.
She's not funny. Is she funny?
That makes me sad to think about. Okay, well, maybe she was the funniest one in her Salt Lake City Mormon high school.
You're saying the bar was low, is what you're saying.
I'm saying, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't mean that as a read. I'm just saying I don't really think of Angie as being a funny person.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think those glasses are funny.
Mary is a funny person. Heather can be a funny person. Whitney can be a funny person. Just I have not...
Walk over my joke.
What did you say?
I said I think those glasses are funny.
Yes, but that's a sad kind of funny. Anyways.
No, I know what you mean. Everybody else on that couch should win best.
But listen, Heather saying she peaked in high school. Now that is a not original thing to say, but that is a shady boots thing to say.
But she's
about somebody.
She's implying that she left all her humor there because she's not funny anymore.
I mean, okay, the facts are the facts, but to say somebody peaked in high school is them's damn.
Yeah. Do you know people like that?
No.
No?
I don't speak to people from high school. Did they peak then? I wouldn't know.
You're also good at not being on Facebook.
Yeah. I wish them well. Also, I think it is more of a real read, though, because you don't want to be... I don't know. I feel like maybe there are people who self-discover 100% before the age of 18. Like, is that possible? Maybe. I don't think so, though. And so for you to, like, for that to be the extent of your growth is sad. That's not something to be proud of.
Right, that's why it's a read.
That's what I'm saying. So I hope they don't. She also, okay, I'm also saying that because later in the episode, I was going to say this, but she said that she wanted to say she was still the same girl that she was in high school.
Did she say that?
She did.
Oh, I didn't catch that part.
She said something like, I want her to know that I'm still that same girl. And I was like, oh, you just completed the read.
Well, bitch, I don't think anyone with that house peaked in high school. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's a nice house.
Yes.
And I wouldn't say that she did. I mean, obviously.
Or that husband.
Oh.
Just kidding.
You want to talk about the husband?
I think he's really hot.
He is really hot, man. Let's finish up this
Heather. Okay, let's go back to this part.
Finish up Heather.
Basically, Heather didn't know that Jack was going on the mission because Lisa was keeping it kind of like to herself, mm-hmm. who she tells.
Mm-hmm.
And she is saying basically what you were posing earlier, which is like, do you think, like, what do you think Lisa thinks about this? Like, he's going on this mission with all these people. She went on a mission, and when she was there, she basically had to do like a death oath that she would never leave the church. And all this stuff.
No. The death... That thing is about not revealing...
Secrets.
About rituals and procedures and stuff like that.
Okay. Which makes me think of hazing. Not saying that that's what she went through or what he's going to go through. But it makes me think it's very extreme.
It's a spiritual NDA.
It's extreme.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, I do think she has a point by, like, bringing up these things. But what Whitney's basically saying is, like, none of us judge each other on religion. We all have different aspects of religion in our lives or not anymore, and it's just something like, if you're touching that part of someone's family, I do think like it's gonna bite Heather in the butt that she said anything, especially if little Whitney runs her mouth against her best friend.
I think it's okay to speculate.
I do think it's just,
think
like,
posing
people are
the question.
Lisa's not going to take it well.
Right. I mean, that's true. I think she would be wrong if she just said it unsolicited to Lisa.
Yeah.
Just being like, I hope she's, like, prepared for, you know, he could come back very much orthodox and be very judgmental about his own parents and how you're going to deal with that. I think that's, like, not an unreasonable thing to say in a conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
Whitney's
basically being like...
With Whitney, but not
let's
like...
Let's not go there, though.
Yeah. Like, but yeah, she does not need to take that outside of the hot tub.
But it seems like she might.
Yeah. I was worried about that.
Yeah. So then we see Meredith in her fourth vacation home that we've seen her in 4 seasons. Or rental home.
Yeah.
It looks nice. They all look very similar.
And listen, there is no judgment there. I'm glad she can...
afford that. I'm glad she can afford to take...
live in New York City.
A 4-month hiatus from New York every year to film this show.
Uh-huh. In a mega mansion.
Yeah, in a mega.
Yeah.
We also see her, like, immediately the camera is focused on the Trixie Motel website. I'm like, what deal did they strike here?
A big one, because... again, an appearance? I think they've had drag queens on the show before, but I don't think...
Okay, but they were, like, the whole time showing Trixie Motel, and they were, like, they showed her computer screen 4 times with the logo on it and showing all the rooms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, like, maybe they were kind of, like, saying, like, we want Trixie to be on the show, we want to do a Palm Springs trip, and here's how to get Trixie on it. I don't know.
I mean, they got the whole motel to themselves.
Yeah, so Trixie clearly gave that to them, but that doesn't mean that the show has to do PR for Trixie Motel, but they were.
Okay, well, I wouldn't give the whole motel for
it seems
nothing.
Like maybe Trixie or HBO paid for it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We watched the show, and it's very good. And we visited when we were in Palm Springs.
Yes, we went to the gift shop.
When you go to the gift shop, you have to go in through the side door, and you basically ring this button, and then the... The person running the front desk comes up and lets you in, and you get to walk through the pool area, but it's very much like, go in here, look, buy some gifts, and go.
Yeah, don't bother anyone.
But we went, like, I didn't even know they went to the Trixie Motel when they were Palm Springs, because that wasn't on Twitter. Just that one gay bar they were at was on Twitter. But we literally went to Palm Springs, like, 5 days after they were there.
Yeah.
So we walked on the grounds that they swam in.
Right. We've all been to LAX. We've done that, so it's fine.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, so then Seth walks in, and he pours Meredith this, like, white wine in a shot glass. And then we find out that they've started a relationship podcast.
Yeah.
Called Hanging by a Thread.
Mm-hmm.
Where Meredith says they can only do 20 to 30 minutes at a time because they're worried about getting in a fight with each other. And they're using the same microphone that we were using, the blue microphone.
Yeah.
Except ours cord broke, or maybe the whole thing broke, because I've bought 3 replacement cords and none of them work. Mm-hmm. So we're back to our old microphone. But it looked... Normally when a housewife gets a podcast, it's like a network asks them to do it. And they like are in the studio and everything and have a name. Mm-hmm. This is clearly just like they bought 2 blue microphones and are recording it and probably paying someone to edit it.
Good for them.
I feel like we should listen to one this week.
I don't know.
I mean, based on the clip they showed, it just seems very...
Listen. They're sharing their life experience, girl, and you can do that. So, good power to you.
Well, I just want to see what it's like. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think it's going to be that great. So then we find out that Trixie invited Meredith to the motel. So this is Meredith's trip she's planning. And she's inviting basically everyone, including Monica, but not Angie. What do you think of that?
I don't really... What's the beef with Meredith and Angie? I don't remember.
I don't really remember either. She just doesn't like her.
Yeah. Okay.
Because every time Heather says something about having beef, they show flashbacks. But they never show any flashbacks with her and Angie.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because she was... I don't know. She was close friends with Jen.
Maybe it has to do with this thing she's gonna be bringing up about her husband. And she doesn't want to... I don't know.
Maybe. So then then we go to Angie. And this is the first time since she's an actual housewife that we're seeing her home life. Like, besides throwing a party or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it was really boring. This part. I thought the next part is Monica's, and that felt, like, very real to me. This just felt like, oh, I'm Greek. Oh, my daughter's Greek. Oh, she wears a Versace sweater. Oh, we live in this really nice house. You know what?
It brought up some thoughts. First of all, I like that she's passing on her Greek heritage. I think that's cool. It made me wonder if from a filter point or a economic lens, if I became super wealthy, would I let my children wear designer brand clothes? But then I'm like, But my first thought was like, well, you know, I don't really want that type of like spoiled entitlement, but does that make them spoiled and entitled if they don't really know the value of a dollar? They don't really know that they're wearing very expensive clothes for no reason, and then it doesn't really do anything for her because if she's in higher social like economic circle, like that's what everybody's wearing, so it's not like she's parading it over people. You know, I don't know. It was just very. It made me think about kids. It made me think about having kids and what I would do if I grew up, if I was a wealthy person like that and had a child.
Yeah.
There's no judgment there. It just made me think about.
I guess I judge, so. I don't know.
I wonder how much that has an impact, actually. I wonder how much it actually has an impact on a child to just kind of give them, like, a very expensive wardrobe and things that are not, like, normally experienced by kids.
Yeah. I mean, I thought I was the shit when I got, like, a North Face jacket.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's just a matter of perspective.
So she probably is like, oh, my mom bought me a Versace. Like, she... I don't know.
It right. It's different, but she's probably... If all of her friends are rich, then that's what they all wear. Then it doesn't give her, like... It's not, like, a boost or something. It's not... But then... It doesn't really... I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just the inkling of an idea that I just don't know.
Tim, the part that was crazy to me about this part was just to think that, like... Someone... I don't know. It's like... Obviously, there's people that are extremely rich in this world from doing anything. From franchising Burger Kings. Things like that. You know what I mean? Like, but just... They own, like, 10 salons and a cosmetology school. It's, like, cool to see that someone is so rich from doing that. From, like, just kind of building a small empire of things, you know?
It's always people... You've known... It'll be somebody... somebody's dad or uncle owns 10 McDonald's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
And they are stinking filthy rich.
Yeah, someone like that who owns Burger King.
And you just would never, like, everybody focuses on the glitzy, like, you know, famous, rich because they're famous type jobs. But there's lots of people that do little mundane things. There's somebody out there that's shredding paper, okay, for all these businesses, and they are stupid rich.
Yeah.
You ain't got to do nothing high profile. Go shred you some paper.
Well, start shredding. So, basically the only thing I took from this was, I wrote, her husband's hot.
They have salons.
They have salons.
Yeah.
And
she wants to reconcile with Heather. Yeah. That was kind of the main part.
But she doesn't say anything about Meredith. So I'm like, that's, again, why, what is the issue?
Right, very that.
So then we go to Monica's house, which they show from the outside. It is a very modest house for Housewives standards.
Yes.
Extremely.
Small.
I mean, props to you for owning a house in general in this day and age.
And this economy?
Yeah. Yeah, but for Housewives standards, yes. She's talking with her mom. She basically says she's 50% Colombian, 50% Portuguese. And she was born in Boston, moved to Utah. Then her mom and her grandma followed her to Utah, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They raised her in the Mormon church, but she's, like, struggled through it, and we'll get to that later. She said her husband basically completely supported her. Now we know they're divorcing again. Mm-hmm. And so she has this, like, baby business called Bria Baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's talking to her mom about going on the girls' trip, and she is, like, asking the mom to watch the kids for 3 days. The mom was clearly joking, but it was just funny that she said, like, I can only watch them for 2 hours at a time.
Was she joking?
She was, because 2 seconds later, she was, like, saying, like, okay, so I had to get up at 7 a.m. with them, basically.
Yeah.
But Monica's basically saying she's very nervous about the girls' trip, and she feels out of her league. And this part, to me, I'm sure there have been other parts, but this, to me, felt the most real of, like, anything I've seen with Housewives talking about, like, the Housewives experience. Like, obviously, I'm thinking about, like, Beverly Hills, like, Brandy wasn't that rich.
Yeah.
Things like that. But at the same time, she still lived that rich lifestyle a little bit. Brandy didn't own one Louis Vuitton bag. You know what I mean? Like, she had gone through that lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, her husband was wealthy.
Yeah.
Her ex-husband.
Yeah. This, to me, just felt like the most vulnerable and real people have gotten about what they are feeling about getting on the show and going forward on the show.
Yeah.
That I've seen. Aside from maybe, like, what they have on Girls Trip when they kind of can talk about things freely.
Yeah. I feel like if Monica can keep this up, she's going to be very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody has it where the right type of vulnerability is what you need. Honestly, you need to be able to, like, be confident and glamorous and funny. But you also have to be willing to to bare yourself a little bit. And I don't know if there's, like, such a thing as too vulnerable. Like, there's overshare. Some people have oversharing, right? Mm-hmm. But is oversharing a word?
Oversharing?
Oversharing. That's not a word.
I thought you were just talking Southern. Oversharing.
Maybe I was. And then I was like, hey. Anyways. But yeah, watching this segment, I was like, this is a real one.
Mm-hmm.
She's gonna, like, even, it reminds me a little bit of Cardi B. How she's like, fabulous, but she's still herself, and she's not willing to, like, I'm sure she doesn't say every thought or every insecurity she has, but she shares enough to make people feel, like, relatable to her.
Mm-hmm. And obviously,
I feel like Monica has that special sauce of, like, she's cool, can be fabulous, but she can keep it real with you.
And she, like, knows how to look like a housewife, dress like a housewife, things like that, without clearly, like, going out of her means.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she basically is crying because she bought a Louis Vuitton bag because she felt like she needed to have something nice around them when she goes to Palm Springs. Which, I did like the bag when they showed it.
The bag was nice. And I liked how her...
Oh, and her daughter was so fucking mature about the whole situation.
Yeah. I liked how she was hyping her up and, like...
Yeah, she was like, you don't need all those things, and you know that.
Yeah.
I really liked that part. Oh, we also find out very quickly that her dad and her mom got in a huge fight one day. He walked out the door and never came back. Her mom got rid of any trace of him, and all she knows about him is that he's gay and moved to Florida.
That's not funny. It is very intense that she got rid of, like, she doesn't even know what he looks like.
I know. She said he could be dead, for all she knows.
Yeah.
That's very intense. You were laughing about how quickly she said the gay thing about Florida and then moved on.
Just like, oh my god. See, this is why it's not good to have an environment where people aren't allowed to be themselves, because then they try to pretend they're somebody that they're not, and they get in situations which are not, like, healthy, and then they do the right thing and move on. Well, maybe, I don't know how things happened, right? So that might not have been the right way. But people pretending to be somebody they're not is not good, so.
For anybody in any situation.
Right. So, point number 5,322 trillion on why, just let people do, you know, if they're not hurting anybody else, just, like, let them be, right? So that they, you can avoid these issues.
Yeah. We watched a really, really good movie about kind of, like, the repercussions of someone being in a society and feeling like they have to be, like, hold something in, a part of themselves, like, being gay when they're not, called Joyland, and it was so, so good. I would highly recommend seeing it.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Okay, so then we have Whitney and Justin going to dinner with Angie and her husband.
What do you think? Hot husband!
What do you think about the mustache?
Wait, did he have one?
Yes, he had fully shaved everything except the mustache here.
Oh, I didn't notice, but, I mean, he's still looking good.
He's so hot, you didn't even notice.
Yeah.
They're saying...
I will say, okay, also, another point. The gays, the straights follow the gays in the clothing department, because his clothes were so tight. And years ago, the gays loved to wear the tight clothes, and now they've moved on to, like, butch construction worker type, or, like, weird baggy type, not, well, weird baggy, but, like, we're not doing that anymore, and then but now the straights have caught up to that, and they're doing that.
Is he European or no?
No, it doesn't seem like it to me.
Those tight, tight plaid pants are very Love Island to me. Like, nice. I feel like the Brits caught on, too.
Well, they do their own thing. So listen. They don't follow
America. Okay, but also he's a hairstylist, so he's probably around gays 24/7.
No, T? But I just feel like...
Okay. Or he owns hair businesses, so...
I said what I said.
So, basically, she... Oh, Whitney is saying she wants to arrange for Brooks and Angie's daughter to be in a relationship. Her Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
So they've gotten very close over the summer.
Very close, yes.
Justin and
Wait,
Angie.
Wait, do you like them together?
Angie and...
Whitney? We got a lot of them this show. That scene
well,
and
if
the
we get more of you-know-who, then...
No, shut up. Apparently he's going to be a villain, so...
No, that's not what they said.
You want to talk about the husbands?
Okay, maybe he gets a little of these twinks on the side as hairdressing business. And that's why he wears the tight pants. Ever think about that?
No.
Anyway. I don't know. I don't necessarily love Angie, so I don't really love them together.
Okay.
There's my real answer. We get a glimpse of Whitney's new business, which is necklaces with crystals on them. And...
Oh, thing.
It's gonna be a thing. It was on her bio, remember? I read it.
Oh, okay.
So then, she basically is saying, like, her and Justin are bad at communicating, so Justin's wearing this crystal that's better for communicating, which we see that will be a thing on the show, too.
Uh-huh.
And... Oh, we also see that Angie's 11-year-old and that poodle with the pink hair.
Oh, I forgot about the poodle. Listen, I'm not saying that should be illegal, but it is very concerning. Anytime I see a dog that has bright colors on it.
It was so pink.
It just makes I know that those dyes are dog safe and it's totally fine.
And they
but it just
do
always
it like
makes me
day.
Think a kid has like spray painted them
yeah.
and that it's wrong. But I know it's fine. I know it's fine, and I'm not saying anybody should change that. But that's just the first thing that comes to my mind.
Well, and it's also kind of like, I don't know, when you groom your dog, obviously you can kind of pick the hairstyle you want or whatever. But the end of the day, the grooming is for the dog. To not have that much hair and to not have that much hair around their face, blah, blah, blah. This grooming is literally just for the people. Like, they're forcing their dog to, like, be... Die. I just think about, well, how long it takes to dye human hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Speaking of animals, ours are going crazy on the floor right now. Anyway, they have the biggest bed I've ever seen.
The thing was huge. The thing is huge. Custom.
Custom.
That's a custom bag rule.
It is.
That thing is massive. I would love that bed.
I would know you would.
I would not. I don't know about an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Still sleeping in with you all the time, but
yeah,
that's a thing.
And a poodle.
We're not gonna judge.
So basically, this is when Whitney says, "Oh, I'm excited for the girls' trip." Blah blah blah, and she's like, "What girls' trip?" Which this part to me felt they both already knew already, and they both knew that Whitney was gonna ask her already.
Yeah,
because the acting wasn't amazing. But long story short, Whitney invites her as her plus one to Palm Springs. Then, Heather and Monica go to a store shopping, and basically, I thought it was funny that Monica was saying in this, like, gorgeous, like, dress with huge sleeves, like, my style is spit up and goldfish in my hair, and sweatpants, and she looked crazy good in the confessional.
I know. She reminds me of Heather and how, like, self-deprecating she'll mm-hmm. be. It's almost a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really, I mean, maybe that's true, but I'm not really buying it.
Yeah.
But I like the whole, she's like, I'm trying, but I'm not, or what she said? She says, I'm late, but I'm trying.
Yeah.
That's a relatable comment.
So, basically, Heather is saying she doesn't want anything to do with Angie, and she's like, oh my god, I didn't know any of this, because I'm friends with Angie, and I thought you guys knew each other forever, blah, blah. Which is true. But yeah, Heather's like, I don't want anything to do with her. I hope she doesn't come to Palm Springs. And she said she's made efforts for years, but Angie just seems uninterested. Then they, like, have some champagne, and Monica is saying that she's kind of, like, raising her girls Mormon, and that she is kind of, sort of Mormon. And then Heather's like, oh, well, we shouldn't be having this champagne. And she's like, well, I was excommunicated for fucking her brother-in-law for 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
So this was her husband's sister's husband.
Yes. Which, I don't know, I kind of felt some relief when it wasn't her...
Her sister's husband?
When it wasn't her... Well, that would have been bad, too, when it wasn't her husband's brother.
Oh, yeah. I guess there's a lot of brother-in-laws.
Yeah.
That can be, like, situations for it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I... That, to me, would have been somehow worse. I don't know if it is worse, but it feels sister's worse. Sister's
brother.
Mm-hmm. So it's like her, it's her sister-in-law's
It's a husband. Long time.
It is.
It's not just like...
I mean, you also don't know... Okay, well, we don't know the frequency. You know what I'm saying?
But like, it wasn't one
maybe time. Maybe it happened a handful of times over 18 months. Or maybe it was every day for 18 months. I don't know.
Yeah. But she basically...
It doesn't. Came... Also, that doesn't matter.
I know. She came forward to her bishop, and they excommunicated her, but not the brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that was the same thing for who? Heather? When they got divorced?
It's the same for a lot of women.
And Whitney, when she got divorced, right?
I think the Whitney thing... Oh, yeah, maybe both of them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it seems to be not, not something that doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah. Listen, the double standard is very common in all Christian religions that I'm familiar with.
Yeah. This is also the first... They've talked multiple times this season about the garments, and I feel like they didn't talk about them before.
I'm telling you.
That's the always... death oath, right?
Hmm?
That's the death oath. They're not supposed to show
no, no,
them.
No. No. The death oath...
But that's part of it, though.
No.
That's... The garments are one of the things that they're not supposed to tell or show.
No.
Yes.
The garments are known about. Listen, TikTok I learned
showing
about,
them and they're getting in trouble.
I learned about, well, okay, yes, you aren't supposed to, like, reveal everything to everybody, but the garments are not a secret that they exist.
Mm.
I learned about the garments when I was younger because I had family that went to out west from Florida, and they would come back, and this was a long time ago, my great-grandma's sisters, and they would come back and visit and drink hot water in the morning when my grandma was drinking coffee because they couldn't, and when they would do the laundry, they had those things that they would put on the clotheslines, and apparently they're like, they have certain like symbols at certain parts like on them or something, but it's part of your religion, like I think you have to, once you get to a certain point, you get them. I don't know anything else about it.
Gotcha.
I used to call them magic underwear.
Okay. So then we get the part where Meredith is showing her swimsuit to Brooks and Chloe. And she's like, Brooks says, I think it'd be really chic if you wore like a whole surf suit. And she's like, he's like, I'm sure they'll have one. It's Palm Springs. And Meredith says, there's no ocean Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. Then we have Mary calling the Trixie Motel and asking them if they have 2003 Dom Perignon. Mm-hmm. And if they have room service and all this stuff.
No.
Bitch, it's literally like an Airbnb motel with a bar in it.
I'm sure she doesn't know that.
But yeah.
If she...
Well, she did say hotel, and then they were like, motel. And she's like, oh, motel. Then we have Lisa pulling out these, like, giant platform shoes. And she's talking to John, and she thinks the trip is going to be, like, telling of who is actually, like, willing to have a fresh start and who's not.
Very that.
But it doesn't...
And I think she's right.
It seems like her and Lisa, or her and Meredith are going to be good. Hopefully.
Yeah.
So then, at the airport, Mary's going through this whole, like, rigmarole with her bags. I do love that at the bottom of Mary's card, cue card or whatever, it says, Meredith's friend. Like, I know that, like, they do that for the friendos, but it's just weird because she's, we know who she
Mary,
is.
Yeah, yeah. Like, just let her have her little name, and that's
just
it.
Put her name, it doesn't have to be Meredith's friend. We know who she is. Then Heather has her Starbucks and says her whole order, which is also why I asked if this episode was sponsored by Starbucks.
Yeah, I feel like it might be.
And Monica had her bag with her, and also, she kept saying the Sannies.
Sorry, but also... Earlier, when they were walking and they had the cups, every time the logo was never facing
until the end.
But every time they turned, the sticker was always in the same spot.
Which makes me like, you wasn't like, sponsored because the production told them cover the logo.
Yeah, but you know what cup that is.
I know, but like, whenever when I worked on The Bachelor, have I told this that I work on The Bachelor on this podcast?
I don't know. Let's not get into it.
Very quickly.
No!
I want to say something. Very quickly, I worked on The Bachelor as a PA in college. When one of my tasks was to take a black duct tape roll and cover any logo that was on any bottle. And you didn't have to peel the whole label off. So it could be clearly like a Jack Daniels bottle. As long as you cover the part that says Jack Daniels, it's good.
Okay.
So that's what makes me think the reason they were showing the sticker the whole time was maybe because they like production told them just cover the logo.
Yeah.
But the logo was shown multiple times. Not in full, but it was shown. To me, it feels like they would have blurted out if it wasn't sponsored.
Right. So maybe they just weren't trying to be so overt.
Yeah, maybe. So then you made a real like reaction to Monica saying the Zannies in my Louis over and over again.
I just felt like she was pointing out the bag. Purse,
I know.
And that made me cringe.
I know. And it was like they were at the airport. She's they insecure. Didn't even none of them were even wearing outfits yet.
Yeah.
To have the purse with it.
Yeah. And yes.
Yeah.
It only I don't know if I would have the fact that they showed it twice back to back, if she hadn't had that conversation earlier, I might have been like, that was odd behavior. But knowing that she's insecure about it, and the fact that she's, like...
saying, my Louis, my Louis, my Louis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And then later on, when she was talking about money, I was like, girl! I think she's just... If she's a direct and honest person, she probably just wants to scream... She probably just wants to say that she's uncomfortable.
Well, maybe but she can't. Maybe she will.
I know, but... You just know it, so when she's doing it, I'm like, oh, stop it, please!
Okay, so then we see Whitney went ahead of them, but none of them know that Whitney's even, like, on a different plane, or if she's, like, after them or before them. That's so weird to me. But I guess it's because she didn't want them to know that her and Trixie were going to be spending time together before. What do you think?
I don't know. If she just got there a few hours early, why not just be like, yeah, I'll be there
early
when you guys, I'll be here when you get here.
Yeah, but instead she was vague about it to everybody, which is weird. I guess because she brought Angie.
But
guess what she's wearing at the pool?
Face shield glasses.
But Whitney basically like talks to Trixie a little bit. Trixie comes out and she's saying like, I was friends with Whitney with Trixie first, and I want to kind of like claim my territory, basically. Mm-hmm. Which she was. That's like one of the first times I actually even heard about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City was she was on Trixie's channel like during season one.
Yep.
On YouTube. So then Lisa and Heather, cut to all of them in the airport bathroom in Palm Springs because Lisa has lost her ring and is like screaming, help, 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 look for my ring.
I am freaking out.
John's gonna kill me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, also, she keeps saying it's sentimental from John and they were showing her wearing it on her wedding ring, but she also had two other rings on. Like, did John, like, add this to her wedding ring set?
Probably.
Gotcha. We find out it was 60 grand, and she had a pic of it of her wearing it on the plane, so we know it was, like, on the plane at least. And this part is just really funny. Meredith is, like, searching in the bathroom. Mary said she doesn't think it's worth 60 grand.
She would.
And Heather thinks it was Colonel Mustard with the plunger.
What?
That's what she said. It was a Clue joke.
I know, they're obviously joking because the ring was stolen. As soon as that thing hit the ground, somebody snatched it up.
Yeah.
And they were not going to give it back. I'm glad they
didn't do an edit that like Monica took it or something like that. That's what I was thinking initially when Mary was talking about it. Like someone taking it.
Oh. I didn't. That thought never crossed my mind.
I was just hoping they weren't going to do that. And then they didn't, luckily. Okay. Because the whole episode had been about, like, her not having money.
That would be slander, and she could sue them, I bet.
I mean, yeah, but I guess if the edit's an edit.
No.
I don't know how that works. There has been so much things that could be slander on the show. They have to sign that away.
The network purposefully making it look like she stole something if they had no evidence.
No, if the other girls said things about it, is all I was hoping that wouldn't happen.
Oh, gotcha. I don't know if that they know of her financial situation, like that she's not at the same wealth, economic, whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Lisa kept saying it over and over again, and this was so funny. She said again, like, I'm so sad about your ring. And Mary was like, at some point you have to let it go.
Yeah.
It just like, happened.
Lisa made Mary sit on that bus for 45 minutes, and Mary said, the clock has been ticking for a long time. I do not care.
Yeah. So Lisa calls her jeweler to basically get it remade immediately is what you would think it. Is that what she's doing? Or like she's calling to ask if it's insured?
She probably has a jewelry store she shops at. And she knows the guy that works there or owns it. And she called him.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's just funny because Monica was like saying,
it's not like she has a jeweler on retain in her. What do you call that?
I'm literally shaking.
Right. What do you call that?
Retainer?
No. Posse. But not posse.
Rolodex.
No, but what do you call it? Not a repertoire. When people, like, you have a group of people around you?
My cohort.
Entourage? Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. Anyways, okay.
No, I think entourage is friends.
Well, I just mean to say, it's not like having a jeweler means you have a lawyer that you pay monthly to, like, be on call or whatever.
Yeah. I just thought a lot of the girls basically were like, took it as, oh, you're gonna literally like make us spend this whole time in the bathroom and then it doesn't even matter. You're gonna just get another one made immediately.
Okay, I don't understand that either because if she found it, she doesn't have to spend $60,000 on a new one.
True.
Like, that's not an insignificant
amount. I just mean, all the other girls were like, oh, whoa. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I cannot believe Monica put her hand in a public toilet.
She probably didn't actually do that.
She said she did. Listen, well, let's just be clear. I would not be doing that.
Lisa, if anybody should be putting her hand down the toilet.
Yeah.
So, back at the motel, this part is funny because they're basically being like, I was not a bad thing that I'm here. And then Whitney's like, no, it's not like a bad thing that you're here. It's just that you weren't invited. And Trixie's like, oh,
no.
And then Trixie says, like, well, drag is illegal in Tennessee, so there's worse things, I guess. And Trixie asks what room they want. And Whitney's basically like, would it be rude to, like, take the biggest room if I'm not the hostess? And Trixie's like, yeah. And then Whitney's like, well, I got here first, so. Yeah. Seems like they're going to take the master or whatever.
Well, there are two of them. But that is true, she wasn't supposed to bring her. But I don't think she should take the big one.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know if she will. I don't know if she will, but she might.
I came off to me like she's going to.
She did say that.
And they went back in there and hung out.
She did say that they needed to burn down the house and start over. So.
When did she say that? What about what?
About bringing Angie.
Oh, yeah.
And during that time, that scene, so.
So then, basically, they see that the Sprinter van has arrived, and they're like, oh my god, they're here. And then Whitney goes through this whole thing, or Meredith goes through this whole thing about, like, the keypad on the door. And Whitney's worried that Whitney now realizes, like, oh my god, wait a minute, Heather might be mad at me.
Right.
Like, she didn't even tell Heather that she was bringing Angie either.
Oh, right.
Which, Heather's beefing, it's blatantly obvious Heather's beefing with Angie. It's gonna make her upset.
Yeah, because we don't know the Meredith-Angie drama.
I just think that it's gonna get Whitney in trouble again. It's the same thing as last year when Whitney got close with Heather's enemy, Lisa.
Yes.
It's gonna happen again, immediately, and it's a surprise. It's just stupid of Whitney, is all I mean.
Especially since we, in the preview, we get to see that the Meredith activated You Can Leave is going to be directed at Angie, who she brought.
Yeah.
So clearly it blows up.
Yeah.
But she's earning her paycheck, and I'm proud of her for that.
Angie is?
No, Whitney.
Oh, Whitney, okay. So, yeah, we see them all get introduced to Trixie next episode. And then they're at a bar, and Heather gets an espresso martini, and they show this, like, edit of her ordering it. They only show her order it once, but I guess she has multiple, and she throws up espresso martini in the Sprinter van.
Yeah.
Like, thick.
It was gross. It was
milky. Yeah.
Don't talk too much about it.
And then we get Meredith's already, You Can't Leave, Robotron. Not Robotron, what would you call it?
Transformer.
Transformer. I don't know. Like, she looks crazy. Kind of she looks unhinged.
A Gandalf like her, moment.
Like, her jaw is like, Yo, can leave.
Yeah, the eyes are intense.
So, obviously, yeah, that's it, Angie. And then we do see her talking to Lisa really quickly, which they also showed in this season on, which I called wasn't going to be about Lisa and her marriage. It's actually about Angie and her marriage. Mm-hmm. But the trailer made it seem like she was talking to Lisa and saying, like, oh, you don't want to go there about the marriage.
Right.
So I called that one. And then, oh, she says she can fuck off.
Yes.
So I don't know what she's going to say to Meredith to piss her off so much about being on the trip. Because clearly that happens later. It's not when they're by the pool or whatever.
Yeah, it looks like dinner.
But I think this episode was really good overall.
Yeah. Loved it.
It makes me excited for the next episode. I'm excited to see them in Palm Springs dancing at all the places we danced at.
Yeah.
Drinking at all the places we danced at. Drank that. I will say, if this is the episode where they go to the gay bar that we went to in Palm Springs, I can see why Heather's in the car throwing up. Because those drinks were strong. The bar was so crowded, so I was like, oh, I'm going to get a double because it's so crowded, I don't want to come back to the bar.
Yeah.
I get me and you a double. They don't put, like, any mixer in it at all.
Yeah.
It's just full to the top once, and that's it. And the worst part is I got vodka Red Bulls. I didn't even pay for any of that Red Bull because it was one little tiny squirt of the gun.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm excited to see them at Palm Springs, and I'm excited for next week to be like, oh, we went there, and we went there, and we went there, and we went there, and we went there.
Okay.
Even though you think that's annoying.
I think it's annoying.
Yeah, earlier you were like, we've all been to LAX, so chill.
You're talking about Trixie Motel.
I know, but...
And plus, I only think we went to one same place, as far as we know.
Well, they probably went to, like... They probably walked around that part of town.
Every place that they went. Whatever.
They're probably going to show Lisa Vanderpump's little star, little Hollywood star. Okay, well, the dog has been outside and now she's begging to come in, so I guess we'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to subscribe, and you can rate it on Apple, and you can also rate it on Spotify now, which is a huge help. Definitely share it with any of your Real Housewives of Salt Lake City viewing friends that listen to podcasts. We will be back next week to recap episode 3. And this has been Privileged Twinks. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Goodbye.